Blog Talk Radio.
I'm wonderful. How are you today, Angela? Hello, audience.
I'm good. I'm great. Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. I'm honored to be here.
Now, recently, you were in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and on a number of other, I believe it was CBS, am I correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And in the past, Reverend Jesse Jackson has been in attendance there to watch the reenactment of the legend of Mr. Roger and Dorothy Malcolm and George and May Dorsey, the legend.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to let you tell the people listening how you got involved and what this is all about.
So the Morse Ford lynching reenactment is based around the lynching of two African-American couples in Monroe, Georgia, in 1946. It is considered the last unsolved mass lynching in U.S. history. The couples were, the oldest was 32 years old. The youngest was Dorothy Malcolm, who was actually turned 20 years old the day that they were murdered, the day that they were lynched, was her birthday. And she was turning 20 years old, and she was also pregnant. So it caused an uproar to the point that the president at that time sent the FBI to Georgia because George was a returning U.S. vet from World War II. And the president was furious that a man could go and serve his country, then come back here and be lynched in the South the way that they were.
That's horrible, but it's good you're keeping this alive. You're letting people know that it's not something you want people to forget.
Absolutely not. And that's why the lynching reenactment was created. And actually, Dr. Charles Steele, who is the current president of SCLC, the national SCLC chapter, was the one that came up with the idea. And he passed the idea over to Tyrone Brooks, who at that time was with the House of Representatives, and there was a Caucasian female that was doing the reenactment for the first 3 years. After the third year, she decided that she could not or did not want to do it any longer. So Representative Brooks at that time came to me and asked me, would I consider taking up directing the Moores Ford Bridge lynching? I wasn't sure at first, but after reading the story and seeing the horrific way that these people were lynched and then that no one was ever found guilty, I felt like I had to do something. And so that was my way of being active instead of just standing back and saying, hey, that was a long time ago, let's forget about it. There is no statute of limitation on murder, and we should never forget people that were lynched in this country. And most of the time, for doing things that were definitely not lynchable offenses.
Yes, and it didn't call for murder just because they were black people. Okay, black Americans. Okay, now, you also on NBC News, and according to the files and what I'm reading on www.nbcnews.com, this is like some of my information from that you sent to me, that there were more than 50 men that were suspects in the lynching of these four people, and of course the baby, unborn baby, which is five people.
Yes.
No one was arrested. But because closed mouth.
This is the problem. This is the problem, Angela. At that time, there were people that actually witnessed and spoke. People were afraid because you're talking about the Ku Klux Klan in the 1940s, people were terrified to talk. But there were some people that did try to talk and cooperate with the FBI. One of them was a gentleman that saw something. He was working at a black young man, was working at a ice house in Monroe. Two brothers from the Monroe areas went to his job, and his name was Lamar. They went to his job. They started beating him up on the job, and then the foreman that Lamar had worked for many years with this white man told the brothers to take Lamar out in the back to beat him. Beat him until he was almost dead. They beat him near death. And two, a pastor from Atlanta and another gentleman came to Monroe, snuck. They had to sneak Lamar out of Monroe in order to get him to safety and into a hospital in Atlanta. And I have seen the pictures of how they beat this man. It was, what animal treats someone like that? Those brothers were arrested. They were identified and arrested. They went to court. Of course, an all-male white jury found them not guilty. So why would anyone want to speak after they see somebody almost killed and he says who did it to him, and then they are found not guilty by an all-white jury?
That still happens, though, with the not guilty things here with the criminal justice system in the United States. Most black people know that the Ku Klux Klan is wearing badges and robes in modern day 2018.
Absolutely.
How did it start? Would you explain to the people listening how this started? Was it because I'll tell a little bit because I know I've studied this and read.
Yes.
It was because he was gentleman, one of the black men, supposed to stab a white man. Now, you take it from the screen.
Okay. No, we need to go back further than that. After slavery, a lot of black families remained on the farms all over the South because they didn't have anywhere else to go, and that was the only place that they could work and, you know, live with their families. So Roger and Dorothy were living on a farm, the Hester Farm out in the Monroe area. So there was talk around town that Dorothy was a very pretty black woman, that the Hester man, the farmer, was messing around with Dorothy. So you know how things go. People going to start talking. So the people in the town were saying that the baby that she was carrying was not Rogers, but it was the white guy who was assaulting her. So Roger got drunk one day, and he went and approached the guy about Dorothy. He called him a nigger, told him to get off his property. He swung at him. Roger had a pocket knife, and he pulled the pocket knife, and he did stab him. So he ran because he knew that in that era, if you did something like that, that was like automatic death sentence. A black man fighting a white man? Are you serious? So he ran. They found him a few days later, or the next day, and they put him in jail. He was in jail for 11 days. Then a farmer who was a known, Loy Harrison, who was a known KKK leader, he went and bailed him out of jail. Okay? His wife, his cousin, May Marie and George went with the white man to get him out of jail. I don't think he had planned on that. But once they asked him, what was he going to say? So he took them with him to get him out of jail. On their way back from the jail, heading supposedly to his farm so that Roger could start working off the money, and the white guy survived. Let me say that. Barnett Hester, he did survive. But he was going to work on this other man's farm because he couldn't go back to that farm. And so they took him toward Moores Ford Bridge. All of them were in the car. When they got near Moores Ford Bridge, a group of white men came out of the woods and said, "We want that nigger Roger." Okay? So they got Roger out
of the white man who bailed him out of jail, where he was to work off the bail money for free labor.
Yes.
Free labor.
Yes.
Which after the sharecropping.
Yes.
He believed that the white man had assaulted or raped his wife. I was fooling around with her, which is, Ms. Green, please make that clear.
It was said around town that he was actually messing with her. Let's make this clear, Angela. That type of stuff went on all the time. Black women were raped by their white farm owners, whatever you want to talk about, employers, all the time. That was normal, okay? You know, can we divert for 1 second and let me share something with your audience? I want us to remember that Strom Thurmond, I'm from Charleston, South Carolina originally. Strom Thurmond, who was one of the nastiest segregationists almost in Southern history, he fought against black people for everything. I mean, he wanted black people back in slavery. That was his motto. We find out when he dies that he had a black daughter by his maid. So this man that hated black people, that fought against us, we find out now, after his death, that he had a daughter who all those years knew that that was her father and did not say anything because she said, even though he assaulted my mom and that's how I got here, he was still my father. So the thought of white men raping black women is nothing new. So yes, he found out, he heard through the grapevine that he'd been messing with her, and he went black men did not go to white men and say, "Hey, don't touch my wife again." That was just not done because of fear. So to me, Roger was a hero from the beginning because he went, even though he had to get drunk to do it, he went to stand up for his wife.
Yes, sir. That does make him a hero. It does make him a hero. Even to this day, being a black female in a small southern town, not quite 30 minutes from Alabama, Dothan, Alabama, I get nervous going around by myself, white business owners that are mostly men. I have that fear because of something that happened to a relative in current daytime at a club.
Mm-hmm.
No name.
Mm-hmm.
No name. No information about the club either, about what happened to my cousin, but I believe her.
Let me share this with you. I said that I'm from Charleston, South Carolina, right? In 1989, I was still living in my hometown of Charleston, South Carolina. Had no thoughts of going anywhere else. But I was living in a subdivision that there were like maybe two or three black families, and then the rest were white families. Well, an interracial couple moved in next door to me, a black guy, his wife, white wife, and then they had a baby. The men, several of the men in our neighborhood, who we knew that they were Klansmen, we knew they were white supremacists. But as long as it was just black people, you know, in the family, and you know, we went on about our business, nobody said anything. Well, when that interracial couple moved in, they started taunting the girl. "In lover, you a nigga lover," you know, just taunting her. And so every time her husband would not be around and her and the baby came outside, they would say something to her. So one night they shot through her window. Somebody shot through her window with a six-month-old baby in the house and cut their electrical wires. Well, of course, the police were called. "Do you know who it is? Did you see anybody?" They said no, so they couldn't do anything. So they kept taunting this family. So one, I just got tired, Angela. And I think sometimes you just got to say, you know what, even if I'm a little afraid to do this, I'm going to do it. I called NAACP because I used to help out and volunteer with NAACP in Charleston. And I said, "Listen, this is the situation. These people need help. Can y'all come and do something?" Well, they came the next day. They brought the media and they did a story about the family that was on television in Charleston. Since I did that, right, they saw me standing out there. My neighbor saw me standing out there with them. When I would walk home after that day, when I would walk home from the bus stop to my house, they started taunting me. "Nigga, B, you better get out of this neighborhood. We gonna effing kill you. We gonna kill you, nigga. Blah, 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 blah." So I would just keep walking. So one night I was in my house and I thought I heard something in my yard. So I opened my door, right? When I opened my door, one of my neighbors was standing in my yard with a sawed-off shotgun pointed at my door. I slammed the door, hit the floor, and I laid on that floor, Angela. Even though my phone was maybe 3 feet away from me, I was so paralyzed with fear that I could not crawl 3 feet to go to call the police on my phone. After that, I of course, I reported it. I knew who he was, that he got arrested, whatever. He got out on bail. But I ended up leaving my hometown of Charleston because of racism, because a white man felt like he was better than me and he could control me and make me stay in my place. So for me, racism is real. That's why Moores Ford Bridge has been so important to me, and that's why I will continue to fight against any type of racism, discrimination, prejudice that I see.
If racism, discrimination is immoral, that's immoral to God. That's
mm-hmm.
immoral. Like adultery, fornication is a sin. To be immoral. Just like I said, I'm repeating myself, just like fornication, adultery, stealing, killing, it's immoral to hate someone because of their race or the color of their skin. It is immoral. It's an abomination to God. Go on, Ms. Green, please, Ms. Cassandra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what I want to say. Now, I'm near Walton County. Where I live at, I'm near Jimmyack Springs here in Florida. I think I'm like 40 minutes away. Now, I was reading about Walton County. That's not far from me. Also, about Panama City, Florida. Could you explain to me how this, how did, where I live at? Because I know where I live at, I've had a couple of NAACP presidents tell me the county I live in. I probably didn't know what was going on when I was a child, but they were coming from other places and lynch black men and women in the neighborhood, in the county that I live in, not neighborhood, but county. So explain how to everyone, I already know how it happened. Explain to everybody how Walton County, Florida, and Panama City, Florida, got involved in this. Where I live in.
The Walton County that they're talking about is Walton County, Georgia. That's right. Monroe, the city of Monroe, Georgia, which is where all of this took place, is a part of Walton County, Georgia. So that's the Walton County that you see, not Walton County, Florida.
Where I live at. Because when I was reading this, all I saw was Walton County. It did not say Georgia.
Yes.
And it did not say Florida. So I'm like, I don't know anything about this, you know. But that's what the NAACP presidents have told me, that this county where I live is where they took black people to lynch them right in the woods.
Well, you know, South, you're talking about the South, Angela. We're just talking about the South and the mentality of the South. And, you know, racism, let's just do the definition according to Webster of racism, right? It is prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on the belief that your race is superior to their race. What? We are human beings. How do you get to be better than another human being? And the thing that bothers me so much about the Malcolms and the Dorseys, Angela, is that the way that they killed them. They had over 60 shots in the bodies. They found over 100 shell casings on the ground where they were. Mae Murray Dorsey, right, she actually was able to crawl away from the other three that I guess they had died on the ground. She was actually able to crawl away and lean up against a tree. And someone walked over to her, took their gun, pointed to the top of her head, and blew off the top of her head.
Oh, my God.
What kind of people, what kind, who does that to another human being? But listen, the merciless way killed in this country is ridiculous. They would cut off the men's penises and put it in their mouth just to show and to put fear into black people. I mean, castration. They would burn them alive. Who burns somebody alive? What demented mentality does it take for you to burn someone alive? They have hung pregnant women.
That's embedded to them. That's their history. That's who they are in current day. That's really who they are.
Angela, it hurts me because I have some white friends, and I want to think that they care about me the way I care about them. We it seems that way, but when I see the mentality, like let's just let's go to their president, because he's not my president. I don't care. I love the United States, but he's not my president. This man, 45, has done 45 has done more to divide this country by race, by gender. He is so much by economics than anyone in history. But yet you have people that actually feel like this man is a good man. How in the hell are you a good man when you have done what this man has done, said what this man has said, and to tell you the truth, he is not even a friend to his base. The only person that this man is loyal to is to himself, because he's narcissistic. So his loyalty is to him. Everything that he does is to bring money into his pocket, even after he leaves the White House. Watch all of the bills, everything that he signed will make him a wealthier man once he leaves the White House. So for us to fool ourselves like he is for the people, he is for himself. You know, and he is definitely racist, because the things that come out of his mouth against Muslims, against black people, against Mexicans, you know, if Obama had said anything about, you know, somebody being sons of bitches, do you think he would be in office today? At the time when he was in there? No, he wouldn't.
No, man.
They would have impeached him so, Angela, they would have impeached him so fast, it would make a sense. If he had said the word shithole referring to a European country, do you think he would have been in office? Heck no. So right there, we see that this country is race-based. Economics, they're big on the money now. They want that money, but they are definitely race-based. Economics is the main thing that people are seeing right now. Let me tell you something. The Word of God says that the love of money, the love of it, not money, because money is good. We need money. But the love of money is the root of all evil. This country is in a place now where, to hell with people, we're trying to get the money. As long as he got money coming in and he got things shaking up with money, we all in. But the thing they don't realize is that the only person in the long run that's really going to enjoy that money are the one percenters. Bottom line.
But see, you don't understand white mentality in current day. I'm not an expert on it because I'm a black female living in America. But you don't understand. Racism is structured. I believe, but you're an intelligent black woman, Ms. Cassandra Green. You're not a dumb black woman. You're highly intelligent. But I'm going to tell you the way I see things, that racism is structured. It's structured. That's why you can't defeat racism. You can't defeat it. Not only do other whites don't care, that they don't care. They see and don't see. They can care less. It's not affecting them.
Yeah.
And
they can never
be black, no matter what they say. They can never be black, because they can get through marching with black people and go two counties over or two cities over and be white and just blend in, you know, as a white person. But it's structured. Racism is structured. It has, like, you know, that will benefit white people, even though there are some white people who are completely against racism. You get what I'm saying? There's still benefits.
Yes.
That's why so many don't stand up. Whites don't stand up. Not only do they not care, they know they're in America and they know their benefits.
They absolutely. I agree.
Take a relationship between a black man and a white woman. All that white woman has to say, whether it's the truth or a lie, he beat me up. He raped me. And she'll be believed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way I see things. It's structured. It has a structure. It has a one level, two levels, three levels, four. And the levels go up. It doesn't spread, but it's a structure. America is a structure of racism. That's why.
Yes.
No. That's why everything keeps repeating itself. You touched me on Facebook. What you said. You said that, Ms. Green. You said that racism continues and these things continue because there's no justice, and I agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's no justice. No justice for these people that we are talking about. There's no justice at all.
No. Listen. Why are we surprised that we don't get justice today? If they couldn't get justice from 70 years ago, and then before that, I mean, this is just another case in Georgia that I can throw out there. In the 1920s or 30s, there was late 20s, early 30s, there was a white sheriff in Cartersville, Georgia. The people in the town knew that he messed with black women, right? He would make them have sex with him. He had a black woman that was his housekeeper, right? So she needed the job. That's the thing. See, they know that we need the job and we'll stay there. Just like women go through sexual harassment today, who's going to get that? Well, you should just leave. Well, who's going to pay my bills if I just up and leave my job? It doesn't work like that. So that's why a lot of times women stay. But this woman, one day she just finally went to her husband and she said, listen, Sheriff so-and-so is making me have sex with him. I need my job. I don't want to lose my job, but I don't want to keep, you know, I don't want him to keep doing this to me. So the husband went over to try to talk to him. When he came out of the house, the sheriff came out with his gun drawn. There was another black man in the car with him, killed both of them, and then said that he tried to do something to him. Well, nobody believed it, but guess what? He got off scot-free killing those two men. Now, let's go back to 1946. I want to put this in there because I think this is important for us to realize. In 1946, Angela, the first Democratic primary where blacks would be able to vote was being done in Georgia, right?
Yes.
Eugene Talmadge went to Monroe, Georgia, on the courthouse steps where Roger Malcolm later would be in jail, and said that they're trying to get niggas to vote in Georgia. But if you are like me, he said, they may get the vote. Some of them may get to vote this year, but I promise you, none of them will be voting next year. That is what the governor, this man was a governor in Georgia. That is what he said, right? So there was a rush of Klan and white people beating, killing, and intimidating black people in Georgia to make them not vote in 1946. This was right before my group of people were killed. How about Maceo Snipes? Please, y'all, look up who these people are. Maceo Snipes was a black returning soldier. He had just returned from World War II, right? And Maceo, when he got back, he was determined to vote. He said, we have the right to vote. I'm going to vote this year. He was the only person in that county to go and vote. The whites told the blacks, if you vote, we're going to kill you. We're going to hurt you. We're going to kill your family. We're going to do this. Maceo was so determined to vote that despite what they said, he went, he registered to vote, and he voted. How about that night, a group of white men went over to his house. One of the white men shot him. He said he shot Maceo because Maceo owed him $10. His family said that was a lie from the pits of hell. The only reason he came that night is because Maceo had defied them, and he went and voted. Maceo had to walk. His mother walked him to somewhere. They call it the Trail of Blood. Walked him down those county roads in the dark, trying to get him somewhere to get some help. Maceo's great, I think she's his great niece or his great great niece, Renita Alexander, is actually doing a story and a play about him, about Maceo and how he was killed here in Georgia, strictly because of voting. So when 5 days later, my people were killed. the Malcolms and the Dorseys from Moores Ford Bridge. All of this, I believe, was 5 days.
Related.
Huh?
Are you related, Miss Green? Late.
No. I'm not related to Renita. But 5 days after Maceo was killed, the five people, I call them my people, the Malcolms and the Dorseys were killed, and we believe that it was them, the whites saying, okay, y'all trying to vote, y'all think y'all gonna, and we gonna shut y'all down. So all of this was to bring fear. White people rule by fear,
yeah, they
because they feel like if they can get you scared enough, you are not going to do anything to cross them or to come against them or to do what they don't want you to do. And I think that's why people like you, people like me, and people like a lot of other social activists, human and civil rights activists, why they see us as so threatening to them. Because we're going to stand up for what we believe is right. I don't care if I die, let me die, but I'm going to stand up for what I believe is right. Whatever that thing is, I'm going to stand for it. But I believe as a people, we are going to have to learn how to stand up, especially in the times that we're in right now, because, Angela, these folks are not playing. This president has taken us back about 50 years. He's taken us back about 50 years with his behaviors. Yes, he has. And everything he is doing is trying to say, niggas, I need y'all to get in place. Y'all need to step back and get in your place because you're doing too much. And that's why, if somebody can explain to me how he has such a hatred for Obama, and the only thing, he cannot say anything that Obama did to him, but the only thing he can say is he's a black man. That's all. Boom. Bottom line.
That's the whole thing. Just for being black.
Just for being black.
Just for being black. And see, that's the thing about racism and Ku Klux Klan and the police, even locally, just for being, but you don't have to do anything to be discriminated against or even killed. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is just be born black and stay black. And that is what can get you sent to prison.
Yep.
That's what can get you killed.
Let me share something, Angela. Let me share something about that as well, Angela, about the prison system. I have done prison ministry for over 30 years, okay? Over 30 years. I have worked on the local, state, federal level in prisons, going in, teaching and preaching because I'm an ordained minister. Why is it, especially on the federal level, right? You know, you got a lot of high-level people on the federal level. You got big drug dealers. You got, you know, the big ones are usually in the federal prison. How is it that I can talk to a drug trafficker, a white drug trafficker that was trafficking cocaine, big time, making multi-millions of dollars, and they got 5 to 8 years in prison, right, for trafficking?
Yes,
how is it that I can talk to a young black man, 19 years old, he was trafficking or dealing crack cocaine, and he has 20 to 30 years in prison? Help me with that one.
Racism.
Help me with that one.
It's systematic. It's a system. It's a structure.
That's it.
It is a
that's
capitalism.
It.
It's control,
it.
It's power, it's capitalism, it's race. All of it is a structure here in the United States of America. You may not believe this, Ms. Green, but there is actually a blueprint. There is a writing on paper that shows how they structured racism. It shows.
You
read about Ms. Devereaux, Ms. Ava Devereaux, I think it was number Amendment 13 or Amendment 14, where it says, unless
absolutely.
You are a prisoner.
That's it.
Yes, ma'am, unless you are a prisoner. So basically, when you're in the prison system, you don't have any rights.
Mm-mm.
You don't have any rights.
Mm-mm.
So that's another reason about hate. It's about control, power. It's about money. It's whatever they want it to be about, basically, but it's still a structure. They actually have a blueprint where people, where white people, have sat down together. I stood up together and made a list, a blueprint, a design of how to discriminate and how to keep discrimination going. And I'm not talking about in slavery.
Angela, how is it that you can go to jail? Let's just stay with the prison system for a minute. You can go to prison. You can serve your 3 to 5 years. You get out of prison, and you can't even get a job. If you get a job, you may end up getting a minimum wage job. I don't care how educated you are, because our system says once you check that box and say you're a felon, that's it right there. You're not even considered. And I have friends, I worked in corporate America, and I have friends that have worked in corporate America, and they have told me out of their own mouths that their bosses, upper bosses, say if they have felon on there, do not hire them. Bottom line.
Yes.
Then let's take it a step further. If you get a job and you are paying taxes, you still can't vote. I'm paying my taxes in the United States. I'm working. I paid my time, and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but I can't vote? Really?
Okay. I understand what you're saying. Really? That goes on a lot in Florida. A lot of stuff goes on here in Florida that you have to go to the governor to be able to vote. So here in Florida, you have to get his permission. Our staff. But I'm looking at the photos on www.nbc.news.com, and I'm seeing the bodies here. It says a coroner places a sheet over the body of one of the victims of the Morris Porter's lynching on July 27, 1946. It is saying that she might have been, the FBI was involved. It's showing the governors and people. Your name is in here, Miss Cassandra Green. It's showing the reenactment. And it also have something that you sent me on www.myagc.com about the Morris Porter's lynching.
Yes.
So it's proof that this went on, but I don't see why they're closing it. Why are they closing the case?
Because they don't want the people that were involved in the deaths of the Malcolms and the Dorseys. They were very prominent families in Georgia. They will not have their family names out there. So they have to fight to get it closed. And I know ain't nobody gonna tell me nothing no different that they did not try to get this case closed. Well, y'all got my grandfather's name floating around, or y'all got Michael's name, and y'all ain't got no proof. Y'all need to shut the case down. Because these were prominent families, and because we don't fight for ourselves the way that we should, you have a murder case with 5 murder victims, and the FBI and GBI are actually closing it. Please help me with that. Somebody need to explain that to me. How do you close? I don't care. Because check out the Jews, right? The Jewish people. Have you ever seen them back down from getting a Nazi that they knew were in these concentration camps? I don't care if he was 96, 98 years old. They find him. When they find him, they take him to court and they put him in jail. But you mean, and this is the same time now.
In this country. Have you noticed that there are not a lot of blacks in here in this country? The United States of America may make up 25% of the world population.
Mm-hmm.
We have the highest incarceration of any country or continent that there is. And there's only 36 million people. 12% are black.
Absolutely.
Africa has close to 2 billion people, even though the apps are wrong. even the maps make African countries or black countries or countries of color look smaller. Even the maps are incorrect. So,
but that is
the
system. You're right. It's a system. It's what we have in the United States is systematic racism, institutionalized racism.